That's true, actually. It's my same
thing. More or less. It looks like I'm having an audio stream issue.
Am I going to find one again?
Yeah. What's going on there? Why is that? Hello? Hello? testing.
Do you love technology?
I'm afraid.
Stop the sample.
You're afraid of it.
I hate that sample.
6 years, 5 years, 6 years? I've been
but yeah, that's one of the things.
I know this much more.
Oh, that's a lot. You know, probably a better way to put that is I've learned probably 100% more about computers since I've been here.
Look at how beautiful this looks with the warm glow.
Right.
And I went back and the girl said we couldn't get any more light back there. If you had light back there.
That kind of looks cool with the...
No, it looks beautiful. It looks beautiful.
All right.
That's actually the best.
What would be kind of cool is to get that in this shot just for fun.
You know, this is the best thing for us to use for snips.
Okay.
A picture of
later
the sheep.
Yeah.
And there's dogs on one side of the river.
I'll have to look. That's on Karen and Gary's house. Right?
Yeah. I think so. Probably nobody. And so those cross over to the other side of the river.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's going to go see who's angry.
I don't know if the original.
Why don't you want to show up in...
No, because Karen and Gary...
well, I guess I can't put that screen into my video, but...
There's like a turtle on that screen.
It's not a turtle, it's an AT-AT. It's an AT. It's an all-terrain armored transport. A turtle.
Turtle.
Neophyte.
That's a long-legged turtle.
I'm offended.
Fernanda. Last cafe? Okay.
I'm going to make him... I'm going to sit him down and make him watch 9 movies.
What order, though?
Oh, obviously the classics first. When I'm really mad at him, I'll let him watch the prequels. We do have a hot mic right now. I just turned it on a minute and a half ago.
Should we talk about politics? So something getting here. Is somebody in trouble?
I think politics might be a great something we can all come to a consensus on. Would be a great topic.
Now that you have a hot mic,
internet communication would be good.
So, I know. Did
he's
they
totally
ever?
Oblivious.
Do I have my hair?
Make that adjustment to the internet that was a big threat.
Tighten the knot.
The what? Say again.
There was a proposal to change access to the internet that was a big threat, and people were concerned either way as to freedom of the internet or something like that.
I think you might be referring to the DNS issue, where we have open DNSs.
Yes. I
think
open source, yes.
Yeah, and so the idea was to switch to like an open source, non-centralized DNS platform. And I think that's still going forward, but it's not popular yet. Every time the DNS gets compromised, there becomes a lot of media focus on that. But really, it's just chugging along.
Is that because of the smart TVs in your bedroom and the bathroom and all around town? That know everything you're going to do and everything that you are thinking of?
Yes, of course.
Really?
Are we ready?
The guy in the sky.
Let me just introduce us. I think we are ready to start. Let me make sure I got everything turned on here. I just need to hit a button.
Early.
2 minutes early. Sorry, everybody out there in internet land. We're getting started early, which is unheard of. I am Scott Stimson from International Computer Solutions, and this is the San Carlos Computer Club. We meet every Tuesday at 9:15 to 10:15-ish to solve the world tech problems. If only they would pay attention to us, the world would be so much better. We are an unorganized and agenda-free group, and I hope people have brought their own topics. I've brought some topics I thought you guys would enjoy. Today I've hooked up this extra monitor, and it's quite a ways from us. We might try playing with it a little bit, but I don't know how helpful it is with us way down here. Maybe next week we'll make sure we're much closer to it. I also can't bring it out any closer to us because it unplugs from the wall and I don't have an extension cord for it. I didn't realize that was going to be a problem until I got here. I've definitely got cords I can bring that will make it do something. We'll be able to use it. We'll be able to bring it out here and so everybody can see it better. But as we're having a meeting, I may try and put some stuff up there just to see what happens, see if it works. How should we start? Do we have any immediate questions? I see Christine's hand up.
I asked the question about, or I made a comment, that X-Pro was dependent on Mega Cable. And somebody said no. Does anybody have more information about that?
I've always understood it to be Telmex that they're dependent on. Okay.
Yes. Because when you do a speed test on their new equipment at my neighbor's house, it shows us a Telmex connection.
And how is
that would make sense.
Wonderful. I get 2.97, they get 28 across the street.
Wow.
You get 29?
I get 2.97.
For Telmex. And X-Pro across the street gets 28.
Exactly.
Wow.
So exactly. That, and you're in Loma Del Mar? 2.9 is awesome from Telmex in Loma Del Mar.
Well,
mine's getting better because more people are switching.
Did you report your problem?
Yeah.
And he called me up and said, well, just unplug your other devices. No. Didn't do any good.
They don't do anything.
They
don't
provide the service they used to.
It used to be the best utility in town.
Do you have a report number?
As far as I know. No, I don't.
Okay, so you should get a report number.
I'm getting
about Noah's still having the same problem. They need to issue you a report number. Well, you can do it on the phone. I don't know if they're giving out report numbers in the office anymore.
She didn't give us one.
Yeah.
So,
and
is that fiber optic?
You can. You can call their 800 number. You can ask for somebody in English. I don't do that because I don't have the patience to wait for somebody in English, but sometimes they force me over because they can tell I'm a gringo. And it's the most infuriating thing. I will never speak Spanish like a Mexican. I will always have an outrageous English accent. There's no way around it.
Put your wife on the phone.
Well, I could, but there's no reason to, and I've chastised them at times. Like, just talk to me in Spanish. I'm trying to get this fixed.
But you say that in Spanish.
That's right. But anyway, so you can ask for somebody in English. People have had success with people in English.
I've had success.
And they can, if you get an enlightened tech person, because not all of them do this. I had to report my speeds this weekend because they were miserable. They were 2.9 there, and they should be up at 8 to 10 were in my area. And she did not waste any time with me. She said, hold on a second, put me on hold, tested the service, looked at the service I was supposed to get, I imagine, did a test down to where I was and could see my problem was not in the house. It was outside the house. It was their problem, and immediately made a report and gave me a report number.
I have a great signal between me and the modem.
Has nothing to do with their problems.
But then it says no internet.
That's right. It has nothing to do with their problems. In fact, they have fixed something without telling me, because this morning I was testing at up to over 10 megabits a second.
Wow.
And that is going through a router that's in my kitchen, through two cement walls with rebar, through the trailer in the back, to a repeater. And I'm getting that speed. So nothing through all that interference is affecting the speeds they're giving me. So
what are people in our area getting for speeds on Telmex?
Well, you're over off of third and E, between third and second,
yeah.
But closer to third. Yeah. So is there anybody here from that area? I mean, it could be that switch is like that, or it could be your lines like that. It could be, given the weather. It could be your rate increases over the next week as people call in problems with their phone lines because of the rain, and they get out there and they start tooling up systems, and yours just inadvertently ends up getting fixed through no reporting of your own.
Well, Well, this is the third try at a different service, and this is absolutely the worst. There's some nights you can't even watch TV.
You know, when we bought our property, I did not think about internet, but if we bought another property in town, I would absolutely consider internet before buying the property. There are people like Loma Del Mar. Yeah, absolutely are stuck with that. Mm-hmm. X-Pro is up and down, but it's so much better than Telmex in Loma Del Mar, and Mega Cable's not available. So those are
people that I know of have no phone service in Loma Del Mar, and I've reported one of them. They closed out the report, and they still don't have phone service.
Yeah, well, that's another thing that they'll do. Unfortunately, I don't mean to diss on Telmex, because they go through waves. Mm-hmm. They've had excellent customer support at times. But then we go through these periods of time where I'm speculating, but they look at what the problem is and go, oh, there's no way we can do that this afternoon.
Right.
It's got to be better.
Was from the up to the post, it was good, so the problem was into the house, and they couldn't do it. But you can only buy that cable that runs from the post into the house from you can't even buy it. Only Telmex has it.
Right, well, what
it's
they...
It's a different kind of cable.
Specifically in Loma del Mar, they treat every installation to the box outside the gated community as an in-your-house installation. So they'll rerun your line, but they will charge you for that whole line of cable, they'll treat it as though you're having a new installation in your house, or a new extension installed in your house. That's how they'll treat it.
No, they just closed out the report.
Right, or they'll just close it out. Yeah, but they are the right people to rerun the line, but they won't give any guarantee to it. It's not their responsibility to make sure that line continues to run. Right? It's because they're in this gated community and they've never had responsibility for each of the individual installations.
And then the other people, I went and paid their phone bill and they cut the phone service up.
Well, that's normal.
That's the second story I've heard this season about that.
They pay the bill and they turn it off.
Yeah.
While you were gone.
The internet still works, but the phone doesn't.
You know, one of the repairmen told me not to turn my
Well, that used to be a real problem, but that problem went away.
Why haven't you gone to Extra if it's better?
I'm not saying it's better. I mean, it's definitely not better than what I've got. I mean, as long as Telmex is working for me, it's enough for my four people in my family streaming Netflix and Prime and doing all the computer work I do from my office. It's especially for the price we pay for it. I mean, it's kind of like water now, isn't it? It's like we don't pay a lot for it. It's just crappy service. I'd almost rather pay a little bit more for it to have a lot better service.
Well, if you keep your phone paid year round, in the summertime they still turn it off.
That's right.
I have no trouble getting it turned back on, but every 4 years now, every year they've been turning off my phone.
Don't you pay in advance?
I pay in advance.
The only time mine's off is if
they're in a storm.
Well,
they know
I'm using it, yes. What they do is they cut it and wait for a complaint.
They do.
Well, exactly. We came back and we had landline but no internet. So I went to the office and complained. And then we got the internet with no landline. And so I went and complained again. She said, oh, it's inside your park. And I said, no, it isn't. Because before I had landline.
A landline.
No internet. And then the technician did come to my house.
Uh-huh.
And he said, oh, well, we had a manager that robbed Peter to pay Paul during the summer.
That's not the first time I've heard that story either. It's a common thing in this office down here. Depends on who's working.
They have about 10 different stories that they give you.
Right.
And they
yeah.
just pick one after the other.
All right, Russ.
We're the furthest out of town, we have excellent service.
That's right. And to be clear, I typically do not associate malice when I can associate incompetence. And I imagine that many of these stories that you tell about your phone not being working, especially the ones where your internet's working but your phone isn't, or your phone's working but your internet isn't, something is broken down throughout the season while you've been gone. And without you there to report that it's not working, nobody's trying to fix it for you. So whether you paid for it or not, they don't know that it's not working until you're there saying it's not working. And I really believe that's the truth in most of these cases.
No, that's not it. No.
In Mexico, I know you don't believe that, Bob.
In Mexico, there's people from Canada and the United States have never understood patience. And the Mexicans really understand patients. They really do.
Yeah, they test them all the time.
And they're testing you all the time. And they have a little saying that grandfather gave to his grandson about patience. I can't remember it. It's wonderful.
Patience is a virtue.
I have a question.
You have a question? All right.
I do. First off, Maggie's going to look to see if a cable that I forgot in Tucson. And secondly, I'm interested to know if anybody has any views, HP cartridges for a printer, and because I would like to be able to get them recharged, and it's an HP. Thirdly, I would like to know if
82 and 83.
Huh?
Number 82 and 83.
Hey, yeah, what number cartridges are they?
28 and 57 are black.
No,
and color 27, 56, and 58.
Hold on. Let me get those from you because I do have some.
You do?
Well, I have ink cartridges from printers that have died, and right. I'll check the numbers. If they match up, you can have them.
Okay. Well, my third thing is, I forgot.
Don't you have a list
there? Okay. No. I can tell you.
Yeah, there's a list in your
head. I'm currently getting about 1,000 emails in junk mail, and I've always had free email from Hotmail.
Mm-hmm.
And my understanding is that if you subscribe and pay, if you pay for what you get, you might get more screening. And it takes me too many hours to go through 1,000 a day.
Delete them.
Huh? Well,
they're showing up in your inbox?
Sometimes it's important stuff.
They're showing up in your inbox?
No, they're showing in my junk mail.
You read your junk mail?
You read your junk mail.
I go through all my junk mail, yeah. I do.
He's a junk collector.
Bob, I think this is a hygiene problem.
What?
I want you to change your behavior. I want you to stop looking in your junk mail. Only look in your junk mail when you can't find something somebody says they sent you.
Exactly.
Only look in your junk mail when you're expecting something.
Well, how do you get people? Like, I have two realtors that are working for me. And how do I get them to go into my inbox instead of into junk mail?
Well, you could whitelist, though. If they're going into your junk mail, then you can find it. And you can, yeah, and you can mark them as not junk. And then they'll be put
from that on.
From the list of junk mail. You bring up the email, and there's a function there that will allow you to say this is not junk.
I've done that, and it still ends up in junk.
You can also just change it to only accept emails from your contacts.
Well, and let's be clear. You could work with real estate people that doesn't end up appearing like junk mail in your junk mail because there are real businesses out there that don't have these problems.
Now you're attacking their character.
No, only their IT support. And you can give them my information if they really need that much help.
Well, would a paid subscription?
No.
Like,
no, because right now they're being flagged as junk mail. So you would have, you need to go and whitelist them. You need to say they're not junk. I haven't been on Outlook.
You can put them in your contacts, then they won't go to junk. They shouldn't.
Well, that's a good point. Outlook or Hotmail, the same thing.
But if you have a program like AdBlocker or other programs that block junk mail, you never see them.
No, he's going into the junk mail.
He's going into the junk mail and finding that they're there instead of showing up in his inbox.
The other thing is, so if you're getting 1,000 a day,
get these other people to recognize you.
You couldn't have
that many people that you need to do this with.
Yeah. So what you're doing is you're creating a whitelist. You're saying that these are okay to come into my inbox. And you're doing that by marking it as not junk mail, by putting their email address in your contact list so that your contact list, they're on hotmail.com. Mm-hmm. It gets used to determine whether something's sent to you is junk mail or not. And so if they sit in there as a legitimate contact, that's one more indicator. This isn't junk mail. So, yeah, I would make sure those two things. And then you might look at, if those two things aren't helping you, then look for mail rules. And I don't know if rules exist.
Hotmail.
Is anybody using Hotmail, up to date using Hotmail right now? Mm-hmm. I haven't looked at it in a while, but they used to have a system that had rules. And you could take the contact and you could say very specifically, this is not junk mail. And that would be a rule that would... I'm talking in vague terms because I don't know what the language is, but that's what you're trying to do, is to say this is always good email.
Okay. But why is he getting 1,000 a day?
Because it's junk mail?
Well, but
who gets 1,000 a day?
Because I unsubscribe. When I get people harangue me, I unsubscribe for them, and they disappear.
Well, again, he's looking in junk mail,
yeah.
Right?
So he never deletes, but he's only 1,000 a day, right?
Well... I don't know. I mean, does it matter?
Yeah.
You,
does it? I mean, especially, what a great reason to use Hotmail is none of that burdens on your systems.
Maybe it's just boring.
All you're getting is a list of what they've collected in your name. But, yeah, I mean, it's not hurting your computer. It's not hurting your internet connection. I mean, so what? We're burdened by junk mail and spam garbage that's being sent out all the time. Thankfully, these free email systems are working daily to try and push that stuff out of your way so you don't have to deal with it. So to me, it doesn't matter whether it's 1,000 or it's 5. I mean, the point is they've created a system where you don't have to deal with it. You're actually choosing to go deal with it, but you're not having to deal with it.
If you do housekeeping on a continuous basis by unsubscribing from all these people sending you, and as long as you get them, they pass out the information. So you really got to get away from the 1,000 dead things and get it down to nothing.
You know, unsubscribing, in my point of view, very important if you can identify their legitimate services and you don't want them to show up in your inbox, then going through an unsubscribe procedure is worth it. The problem is, most of this stuff isn't legitimate, and they don't have a legitimate unsubscribe feature. And at the very least, what you've done is you've identified yourself as having a good email account that can continue to receive garbage.
And they'll sell it.
And they'll sell it. You are now on that list.
Yeah, you're still alive.
Yeah, and you're still alive. You're still active. This email is still an active email account. And what you're saying is good, Irving, but it requires the person dealing with email to be able to identify a legitimate service that has a legitimate unsubscribe feature. You know, I had an experience I probably told you guys about last year where Meyer and Franks, it was Kohl's, sent me an email saying, your account's all set up and ready to go. And I'm like, well, this is garbage. But it showed up in my email, in my inbox. So I looked at it, and it was everything that was wrong with a junk mail. Every key, every clue you were supposed to use to identify it as junk mail. I mean, they had an attachment to it that was a proprietary attachment. It wasn't a PDF attachment. It gave me all these different things that I didn't ask for it in the first place. I'm like, but being an IT person, I'm like, no, there's something about this that looks legitimate, even though all these indicators are telling me it shouldn't be legitimate. And sure enough, it was legitimate. This they had set up an account in my name to do online purchasing. I don't know who they is. I'm just throwing out they. I don't know who they is. And so I hit them on Twitter and said, what is this all about? And I sent them copies of what I was sent. And they're like, we've taken care of this. This account no longer exists. We're sorry for the inconvenience. if this continues to bother you, please send us the rest of the information. I mean, I got a really good response from them, but they were bad actors. Something was going on. It didn't even look like somebody had taken it out in my name. It literally looked like, I bet this email account would like a Kohl's account. That's what it looked like. Like they had just started dishing out Kohl's accounts to emails that they had.
So getting back to the original problem is, besides the housekeeping, you need a legitimate ad blocker or a spam blocker so that they eliminate it. That's what I use. I get almost nothing. I used to get a lot.
Yeah.
And I get almost no spam whatsoever. Because of those two things that I've done.
I get rid of a bunch of spam every day, and I have to say, I'm subscribed to it. I want that 1/10 of the time. I'm looking for that one thing to come in, and the rest of the time I'm dumping garbage because I don't want to unsubscribe to it.
Yeah, well, that's the difference.
So I think you need to go into Hotmail and set up rules, first of all, that have specific words. You can, well, I don't know about Hotmail, but you can target specific words.
And rules like that.
That's probably right.
Specific.
I've never done that.
Specific rules like that are features that you might find yourself paying for. And so maybe if you were, I mean, if you found that there were no rules, I know in the old Hotmail you could set up rules and whitelists.
Right.
If that's not a feature, maybe that is a feature that you do pay for on Hotmail.
Well, it could be that when you're buying it, like for $69 a year, and that's very reasonable. I'd do that in a minute to get rid of 1,000. It could be that they have a spam blocker or an ad blocker a part of that.
That price you just gave, that's the price of Office.
Oh, yeah, that's a huge price. There's no email that.
Yeah, that's
a lifetime.
That is actually, you're looking at that price just for this one aspect, but what comes along with that is full-blown versions of Microsoft Office and Outlook. So if you can't control it online, you can easily configure it on your desktop using Outlook. You get a terabyte of storage space in the cloud, so you've got a place where you could back up your entire computer if you needed to. I mean, if you thought that price was reasonable for controlling your email, well, here's all the other things that go along with that price. Not that I'm trying to sell Microsoft products.
On a parallel thing now with the phones, since Verizon now copied another phone company that gave a free blockage, since we installed it, no more phony phone calls. We don't get them at all.
Oh, on Verizon they've done this.
It's working 100%, and it's free. You don't have to pay for it.
I still get them with AT&T. With their call block, it doesn't work for long.
No, Verizon's working. I used to get 3, 4, 5 a day. They just couldn't hear them. And now they're gone.
I have a question.
Okay. I'm sorry, I'm just playing.
That's
go ahead.
Okay, I'm back to my question of a couple of weeks ago. Now it's 13.2.3
as of this weekend.
And then I read that it's bad on batteries.
It's bad on batteries.
I would wait.
Okay.
If everything's working the way you want it to work, I would just leave it the way it is. Okay. There's no reason to be a guinea pig.
I don't want dramatic dark mode, huh?
That's up to you, but they haven't. What have they released? They've released new emojis, dark mode. I mean, a lot of fluffy stuff that doesn't really.
Yeah.
I mean, especially like from if it's part of a workflow, I definitely wouldn't update. I would update because I'm a hobbyist and an enthusiast. I would not update because I think it's going to bring me good things because. This is a very fast repair cycle that's been going on in this version of iOS. If you have an iPhone and it's still on 12, I sure would stay on 12. They went to 13, immediately had major problems, put out 13.1, 1.1 immediately that same week, 1.2 after that, and then they 1.3 and then immediately to 2.
Right.
So it's 13.2. We were at 13.2 asking the same question last week.
Right.
We got out of the meeting and they released 13.22. What happened to 13.21?
Right.
Yeah. They just blew past 13.2. Like one, oh, that's not going to work. We got to put out another update.
Let's try a different number.
Yeah. If you're an enthusiast and a hobbyist, sure. Because you know what you're getting into. But if you're a normal person, or even worse, if you've got a workflow. Yeah, if you're a normal person or you've got a workflow, I would not mess around with it. I would wait. I'd still. This 13.2.3 just came out this weekend. And it does look like the things that it solves are silly things. Like maybe we're back, we're down to the list of silly things. But this is an amazing number of fixes. Normally it would have taken 6 months for this mini.
It's the red dot that bugs me.
Yeah. I'm OCD too. I want the red dot to go away.
I want it gone.
But no, I wouldn't. I would wait. If I was in the shoes of most people at this table, except for Jim, I would wait. It's not worth having a device not work or lose all the data in it or just hit that one thing you do and watch it not work and then find out that you have to uninstall it and reinstall it to make it work and then set up your password in it again and then replace your settings again. It's just not worth it.
Something to do on a rainy day.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you know what's really infuriating on a rainy day is when your internet's sucking, and that's what makes all those kinds of changes possible. Is there anything else we should address? I've got some topics if people are interested.
Go for it.
I got a couple of real easy, straightforward stuff, and I got a couple of heavy things. I'll start with the easy things. Sid, you know, my buddy from Alaska comes every year, sent me a link to an article that made me realize we haven't talked about this in a while, but it still stands true. And what it was an article, an advisory, saying stay away from public charging stations. And you guys have heard me talk about this before, but I thought it was a good time to reiterate it again. Because USB has been compromised in so many different ways, you should be concerned about using a rogue USB port, especially a rogue USB cable. And there are these charging stations that you'll find in public places like malls and airports. And some of these kiosks even have cables dangling out of them for you to just be able to conveniently plug your phone or your device into. We have this USB chipset that is in 2/3 of the devices, from computers to cell phones to tablets, to power supplies that give data feedback. This chipset was very cheap to manufacture, and it was distributed in all kinds of devices in our world. And that chipset has become compromised. And it became compromised a number of years ago, and they were able to show that you could take a compromised device and just by plugging it in by USB, pass that compromise to another device, and it would hide behind the antivirus. It would there would not be a way to get the compromise out because there was not a way to detect the compromise. And so, kind of like wearing a condom helped prevent the spread of AIDS, staying away from these public USB chargers will prevent this thing from becoming a bigger problem. And so the advice I've given people for years now is carry your own charger, because these public places typically have outlets, so you can plug your own charger into an outlet. And I'm talking about the prongs. I'm talking about 110. The same thing you use to plug into the wall, you can use in these public locations. You don't have to use a USB plug. Or make a point of owning, and you can buy these now, you can buy power-only cables. They don't have a data line on them. They only have the power line on them. They have two cables inside instead of four or six. They've got two. And it's just for powering your device. And you can buy these cables and carry them with you. Then you can feel comfortable to plug them into USB devices without worrying about this compromise.
Some people carry a backup battery.
Yeah, that's what I was
saying.
And they use that. But if that runs dry, can you plug that into that USB cable and not get contaminated?
backup batteries are at the same level as cell phones. If for some reason I have the flashlight on still. I might need a backup battery after leaving a flashlight on for 45 minutes. but it's all about having a chipset installed that can be compromised. And because it has been used in the manufacturing of so many products, you don't know. You don't know if there... For example, a backup battery has to have a smart charging system. It has to know whether the device it's charging has reached or begun to reach the full charge. And that's a smart system in itself. It may not be using smart to the device you're charging. It may not be talking directly to that device. But to get that smart into the battery, it had to come from an interface. And many devices use that same interface out of convenience. So if they use that same interface, that interface can get compromised. And if that interface gets compromised, then it can compromise the other direction. This sounds like science fiction, but it has been proven, and it has continued to be a threat since it was...
And so what is the cable called that you should have again?
Well, a power-only USB cable.
Okay.
It has no data on it. But really, just carry your own charger. Don't rely on...
But if you're plugging it into a kiosk, can the kiosk not be compromised?
No, the thing is the whole kiosk could be compromised.
Right, so it doesn't matter if you're carrying your own.
If you're carrying your own charger, and I'm talking about the wall charger.
Yes, and plug it into the wall, not the kiosk.
That's what you can plug it... Like the kiosks many times will have outlets, just standard outlets.
Mm-hmm.
Well, 110's dumb. It's just electricity.
Okay.
You can't run data across... I mean, technically you can, but that's a whole different discussion. You can't run data across it. There's no way data is coming from that power outlet and going into your charging cable. That's...
So if you're at Walmart and you're using their photo kiosk,
yep,
and you plug in, that's,
yep,
the same thing.
That's the same thing. And jump drives don't help you. Flash drive... Like, if you want to say, well, what if I put it on the flash drive, mm-hmm, and bring it into Walmart? Well... The Walmart kiosk for photos could be compromised. It could compromise your flash drive. This flash drive could come home and compromise your computer.
So it's a one-use flash drive. Throw it away.
If you were practicing really good security, that's exactly what it would be.
Who wants to have this information that you're talking about being compromised? Who wants that information?
The government.
The government?
Well, you know...
They already have.
Sorry. The guy that's sending you an email.
You know, espionage in all forms would take advantage of this.
Exactly.
I'm thinking of my daughter right now, and she's been here before, and she travels right now. She's in Kenya, and she travels worldwide, and she's pretty smart about her computer, but... she goes to places like Vietnam and Korea, and if she had one of these devices that had data, the government could find out what she's really saying privately, and she thinks she's talking privately, but they could put her in jail.
Well, I mean, to take that a step farther, the governments already know what she's saying. I mean, at least our government knows, that's for sure. And in certain regions, if she did anything to circumvent that collection, she might go to jail. Like in China, you could go to jail for making it difficult. When you go to China, I've never been to China, but from what I've read, when you bring a device like a smartphone to China, you are obligated to install their software. Their Chinese malware, so that they can track your locations, your conversations, and your, as per law, that's the way you're supposed to exist in China. Not only as a national, but as somebody that's come as a visitor or as a journalist. These are the things you have to do to have IT devices in China.
Well, my daughter is very much aware of not talking about a lot of things with her phone or with her computer. They've been instructed not to. so that they know that somebody's listening.
Yeah, I think we've reached a point where that's the norm you can assume, is that because it's data collection is so easy that they that's the way I'm going forward. They have shown us that they've been warehousing our conversations and our text messages, and they got in trouble for it. And so they said they would stop doing it, and they set limits on how long they were going to do it. And being an IT person, I can say all that's horseshit, because it's so easy to store information. Why wouldn't they just keep storing it? I mean, a terabyte fits in this. A terabyte is in an SD card now. Right? I mean, imagine what a box could do, a box of SD cards at a terabyte. I mean, you very quickly, petabytes of data can fit in a suitcase and cover more than the data that's flowing across the Internet right now.
In Mexico, you are not, by law, you are not allowed as a foreigner to talk about politics. And yet, if this device with data is available, they don't enforce the law, but they could.
Well, it's Mexican politics, too.
It's Mexican, yeah.
Well, it's Mexican enforcement, yeah, too. I mean, there's a reason that it's 60 kilometers an hour on the road out to the highway, because everybody's already breaking the law.
Right.
Right? So they can just pull you over whenever they want.
Right.
It's
right.
Mexican enforcement.
You think that's the strategy?
That's absolutely the strategy. Haven't you run into that in all of these?
Well, I see it everywhere.
Yeah.
I just assume that it's negligence.
Well, they do have rules that they don't enforce. Like an FMM, they're only supposed to get 6 months a year, but we get 2 a year. So. They don't track it. It goes into the computer.
Well, they're tracking it now.
But I know. It goes into the computer. But they don't say, oh, you've already used your 6 months last year. Because they're getting money, for one thing.
Well, and I think that their enforcement, I've been here 23 years. This is all just my impressions of how this works. But I think they're in a constant state of overreach, which is legal. And then they don't have to worry about it. Because the moment they've got a problem with you, you've already got problems with them. Because they've put you into a position where you've been breaking the law all along. So they don't have to catch you doing something nefarious. You're already breaking the law. So now they can get all over you.
That sounds a little far-fetched.
Really?
Yeah.
No, I
can imagine.
It's very cultural. I think it is very cultural around here.
They said, okay, you're a visitor, and you're not a full-time resident, so 6 months is all you need, you know. So that's all we're going to give you.
That's a case of enforcement. There's no enforcement even on robberies here.
Well, that's what I'm saying, is that it's all about enforcement. The onus is always up to the person on the street to decide whether they're going to deal with you or not, because they've set up the system so that they can deal with you at any moment.
If you go out to I-15 faster than 36 miles an hour.
Not a Mexican strike.
No, the United States, they have to have reasons to deal with you. I mean, they raise speed limits in areas because people are driving too fast and they don't want to deal with you, so they raise the speed limit.
Not in California.
And down here they have ridiculously low speed limits.
They do. I mean, I think the speed limit is a great metaphor for the whole system, because nobody drives 60 kilometers an hour except for that one car that's blowing out blue smoke, and you can bet he's driving as fast as he can.
Yeah.
Right? He just happens to be legal at that moment.
It's like the highway patrol tickets people to pass Volkswagens. Because they know the Volkswagen's going as fast as it can, 65 miles an hour.
Yeah. They also they literally don't enforce a lot of these traffic laws when it looks like the vehicle's owner couldn't deal with them, couldn't afford them.
They don't enforce criminal laws.
Yeah. Right. No, that's I'm using the traffic laws as a metaphor for the whole system.
You better be careful. This is all being. This is all on the internet right now.
That's right.
It's only one of those terabytes.
But fortunately, the ones transcribing and archiving aren't in this country, so they don't care what I'm saying.
Well, it's a simple topic.
Yeah, well, yeah, my topic was simple. You guys got into Mexican politics. I'm just I'm just riffing off of. Okay, another thing people might be interested in, Disney Plus. Yeah? Anybody tried to take advantage of this yet? What's that?
It doesn't work with Linux.
It doesn't work with Linux? It works with all the mainstream services. Right? Like, you can get it on your PlayStation, your Xbox, you can get it on Android TV, you can get it on your Android devices and your iOS devices. Well, Linux doesn't exist in a Disney World.
Yeah,
it
doesn't appear to have content.
What do you do, just type in Disney Plus?
Disney Plus is the streaming service by Disney that's available in the United States. Yeah,
you just type that in?
Yeah, actually with the plus sign.
Oh, okay.
And it'll bring up information. I just wanted to bring up that Smart DNS Proxy, which we've used for things like Netflix and Prime in this country, Hulu in this country, they say they're completely compatible with Disney Plus. And what I saw in a tweet this morning was some things to make sure. And when I read it, I realized, well, you probably would want to make sure these things if you're trying to use Netflix as well. And one of the things to make sure you have a proper configuration, which means no IP6 configured. I thought of you, Maggie. That's why I'm pointing your direction. When we were trying to get Netflix to work and we finally just went on, if it's very possible right now your router from Telmex is automatically setting IPv6.
V6, you're saying?
Yeah, IP little v6. We have IP little v4, which is what the entire internet's been based on since its existence, or at least from its commercial existence. And this IPv6 has been around for a long time, since I was in college. And it's been slowly adopted to, because we're running out of IP. Well, we ran out of IP addresses last year. And so they keep coming up with schemes to make sure we keep having IPv4. And it's actually not in Smart DNS's best interest not to have resolved this problem and gone to IPv6. They should. They'll actually have much more opportunities. But what they've done is reflective of how the whole industry is. It's like, it's working like this. Let's just keep it working the way it is working. And so what they're saying is that if you're using IPv6, there's enough of an opportunity that's in play that it's not working with their system. It's going around their system. So you would need to go into a router and turn off IPv6. You might even have to go into a device and turn off IPv6 if you don't have that option in your router. Or if you're using Smart DNS Proxy with just one device, you definitely have to go into that device and turn off IPv6.
Would that have solved my issue?
Maybe. Maybe. Yeah, but right now your issue is you don't have enough internet to do anything. That's the first issue that needs to be solved. If there's nothing more frustrating than solving problems down the chain of a great problem.
Is this something I can do?
It is something that you could do on the device. If you go into the network settings of your Roku or your Fire TV Stick, look for network settings, look for IPv6. Many times you find just a checkbox, and you can just disable the checkbox. That would turn it off, and then you could see if that makes a difference to your problem. They are saying very specifically, turn off IPv6 for Disney Plus, but I would imagine that's the same for any of the services they're trying to give you.
Check for DNS leaks.
Well, yeah, like devices like Apple TV or even apps. Apps will now come with their own DNS lookup instructions. And so you might actually have to get a device like your router and put in routing table information so that when your router sees these DNS lookup addresses, it actually goes to Smart DNS instead of going to those lookup addresses.
You can do
HTTPS.
Well, that's what 1.1.1.1 is doing. That Cloudflare DNS, which has been miserable. I don't know if anybody's using that.
Just updated.
Yeah, no,
it Warp came out also.
Warp did. It was trash after it first came out. I'm constantly turning it off. And I have a low-powered cell phone, and it kept crashing my phone. It was causing freeze-ups, and I reported it to them and removed the app, and they've kept me updated. Every time there's another update, they said, hey, try this one. And I'm like, no, this is still garbage. And
so what's the purpose of this app? What is this?
Well, it was a recommendation for a long time to get this app, 1.1.1.1.
Well, what does it do?
When you turn it on, it creates an encrypted channel for both your DNS lookups and how you're on the Internet. And it has its position to give you faster Internet access.
You can do it direct from the browser, too.
You can do it direct from the browser. Say more about that.
There was a recent article that, Firefox has already implemented. I think Chrome has already implemented. Some of the others just had add-ons where you just get to send you the browser.
But is this specifically with Cloudflare, or is
their own?
Yeah. Everywhere. Yeah. Okay. So this is aside. I mean, this is in the same kind of topic range, but it's. If you're asking what it does, well, it does the same thing that these other browsers are doing now inherently. It's creating this encrypted channel so that you have secure DNS lookups. You're doing your DNS lookups from a third party. You're not doing it with your internet service provider. And then this particular...
Well, Smart DNS is directly with the provider, right?
Smart DNS is with them as the provider. Whereas if you're not using Smart DNS and you're not using an application like this 1.1.1, or taking advantage of these new features coming out in these browsers, then you're doing your DNS lookups with Infinitum or with MegaRed. What's that?
You could configure your DNS yourself.
Well, you could, Dave.
Right.
Yeah, most people don't.
Most people don't.
But that's what I loved about this app was most people could download this app and hit the on button, and immediately they've got secure DNSs, so they don't have to worry about anybody eavesdropping on the web addresses they're looking up. And they've got secure data flow, so you don't have to worry about these man-in-the-middle attacks looking at the data that's coming to you. The problem is because ever since they've released Warp, which is their system for making web pages even faster, it keeps falling apart. It works great for a while, and then it all falls down.
But you can turn off the Warp.
You can turn off the Warp, but that doesn't always fix the problem.
Oh, it's having any trouble if I turn it off.
What about your authentication with email? This has been one of my big problems, is that I turn on 1.1.1.1. Things are flowing just fine. Facebook's working just fine. Instagram's just working just fine. I can surf web pages. After 15, 20 minutes, I start getting emails saying, hey, you're logging into your email from some weird place. We're not going to let you download your email from Hotmail. When it was first having problems, they weren't going to let me download from my 3 Gmail accounts, my Hotmail account. So I was getting constant security messages going, hey, you're signing in from some bizarre place. We're blocking your email accounts.
I get that when I don't use it.
That's funny.
Sure.
Yeah, no, I believe you. It's just funny. So then when they told me, we've got an update for you, try this out, well, all the problems went away except for Hotmail. I continue to get Hotmail saying, you're logging in from some weird place that doesn't look secure, so we're not going to send you your email.
The article on all the browser support for it and how to do it, I had some warning. I can't remember what it was. So they want to look
it was probably similar to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's a hard thing to do. They're trying to give you security on the Internet, which means they're trying to obfuscate where your data is coming from and going to. And at the same time, it's got to keep your services working like they're local. Right? Like ideally, you're not a Mexican, but you're in Mexico. Ideally, if you use this service, you'd want Google showing up in Spanish. Right, you'd want when you looked at what's playing at the movie theater, you'd want it to see the Wymas Theaters. Right, I mean, when you look for the local weather, you'd want it to be the local weather. You wouldn't want it to be off in the UK or in Canada or in Australia. So this is a tough nut to crack. And so it makes sense that that when I use it, that it would say, where are you signing into Hotmail from? Because this isn't where you normally are. This is, I mean, it makes sense that you would have that kind of problem. But it's still a problem. It's a problem so great that it causes me not to use the service anymore.
And that's exactly what you have for your next one, federal court rules. You're kind of talking about that kind of thing right now.
I haven't quite gotten there yet.
Well, you've been talking about that kind of thing.
Well, actually, you're reading too much into it. This is one of my heavy topics, because that wasn't. I'll put links to these articles on the website, so if you guys want to follow this up with more information, it'll be there. But what I wanted to let you guys know, what Bob's reading over my shoulder and seeing, is that federal courts rule that suspicionless searches of travelers' phones and laptops is unconstitutional.
Say that again?
That won't stop them from searching.
Right. Well, that just means, just like they have to have a reason to pull you over, they have to have a reason to want to look in your phone when you cross the border. And they have not had to have a reason for at least the last 3 years, maybe even longer. They have been able to just ask for your devices. And this has been one of my big fears every time I go across the border, is that they could just choose that moment to make me an example. I travel with lots of equipment. They've made examples out of journalists mostly, and they've made examples out of activists. But in this last year, they have made examples out of people that should not be made examples out of. They made examples out of lawyers that have nothing to do with immigration, have nothing to do with, I mean, they're just a random person they picked out of the crowd to make an example.
Wait a minute, lawyers are really suspect.
Well, but not specific, in general they're suspect, not specifically suspect. They've made examples out of students. In fact, there's a famous case just recently where just random search. I mean, this is like the random strip search. This is, we want you to come, this is the random, we want a dog to go through your car search. Right. They're just doing it with your phone, right? And they ask to see the phone, and he gives up the phone. This is a foreign exchange student that's coming back from visiting his family. And they want to see his phone. And this is what I would do. I'm like, yes, sir. Here's my password. Look at whatever you want. I just need the phone, and I don't want you to take it from me, which they could do. If I refused, they can just put it in a box and say, okay, we'll get it back to you when we get it back to you. They have legally had that right. They could take your laptop, your tablet, your phone, any digital device that they want to get into, and you refuse to let them in. They had the right to just stick it in a box and go, okay, we'll get it back to you when we're done with it. Mm-hmm. And so the student said, no, here you go, handed it over. They looked through his Facebook pages, looked through his friends' messaging, and saw friends posting things that were anti-American and said, we're not letting you in the country. And they sent him back. And he's a college student. He's going to a prestigious university as a foreign exchange student. Could not get back to his university. So this is set in stone now. The Supreme Court has ruled this is unconstitutional. Suspicionless searches are unconstitutional. So suspicionless, I think they made that word up. Because I put it into my editor, and it said it was spelled wrong and forced me to put a hyphen in it.
Right.
It just say random.
Well, random, I mean, you could have random specific searches, right?
Say that fast.
Targeted random.
Yeah, basically it has to be targeted. You cannot ask for what they're saying is you cannot ask for somebody's cell phone, their computer, or their tablet any more than to verify it's a device. They can't ask for access unless they have a reason to be asking you for access.
It's like a camera. It has to take a picture. It's not a bomb.
Right. Yeah, back in the day, I don't even think they bother with that anymore, do they? But back in the day, that was you had to snap a picture. You used to have to open the laptop and turn it on and see the screen come up to verify that it wasn't a dangerous device, which I always got a kick out of because what they were looking is see if it was a bomb. So if it really was, you just blew up the whole station. Right? Oh, well, that was a bomb. Good thing it didn't come into the United States.
Does this include cameras?
Let's run test 2.1.
Does this include cameras?
Well, I would assume that it does because that's all information. So I would assume it does. It says phones, laptops
but
in the article.
The whole thing is pretty. They always have a reason.
Well, that's the thing. They have to have
a
reason.
This whole thing is just words. It doesn't
right.
mean anything because they always have a reason.
I think what this will curtail is the student getting looked into. It'll because what we've watched is we've just watched overreach. We've watched mm-hmm. them use this for legitimate reasons long enough that they just started using it to target people, just to make examples out of people, and that's what it's not for. It's
if you refuse, you wind up in that little room.
Exactly.
Until somebody protests it for you, and you have to. It's better just to hand it to them.
Well, I agree. I think what we're at as far as the border goes with this stuff now is very similar to when the officer pulls you over and the first thing out of your mouth should be, what have I done, officer? Why did you pull me over? Because he has to have a reason to pull you over. He can't just roll up on you and go, I smell marijuana. That's not the reason you get pulled over. You didn't smell it at 70 miles an hour, right? That's no reason to be. I had a police officer one time go, well, you've got an Alaskan driver's license driving a Mexican vehicle in Arizona. I'm like, hey, you didn't know I had an Alaskan driver's license until you pulled me over. That's no reason to pull me over.
Yeah.
They have to have a reason, and that's kind of how the border is now because of this ruling. I imagine if they want your device, you're like, I'll be happy to turn it over. Tell me why you need my device. They have to have a reason. And this, who knows? Maybe you end up in the room, but they don't end up with your device. I don't have to worry about them taking my device. I know they have no reason to take it, so there's no reason for them to take it.
Because you have a beard.
Because I have a beard, and I wear a funny hat.
Which goes back to racial profiling.
And earrings. That's right. No, I'm sorry, Paul. You're pulling information from a different era. Nobody cares. I have earrings. Anyway, I'll put a link to it. The ACLU have put out a really nice article about what's happened with extended information. If you're interested, but this is a dramatic change because I mean we were all here when they said this was okay to start doing to people. And I started getting really frustrated when normal people had to start dealing. I mean, it made sense. It made sense when Griswold, what's his name, the Snowden guy, Glenn Greenwald, when they stopped him and when they stopped his partner and they took all their equipment. Well, it is unconstitutional, but at least you understand why they were targeting him. It was Snowden. Right? The government has one agenda, and people have another agenda in this case. And so you understand where. But when they start targeting some mom that's going to Canada, that doesn't make any sense at all. And we should be aware that that doesn't make sense and encouraging people not to put up with that. And the Supreme Court has got your back now. Okay, well, that's a big topic. Another big topic. Is I don't know if you paid attention last week, but Google was announcing that they're going to start offering checking accounts next year. Checking accounts. Yeah, it's great, Jim. That's exactly the first thing I thought was, I mean, just like Apple getting into a credit card and Facebook trying to put together their own currency, it's not about money. It's about information. It's about the analytics of what you do and your movements and your shopping histories. And they swear it has nothing to do with advertising, and I believe them because advertising would be only the tip of the iceberg of what they could do with your analytics. I mean, the analytics have so much potential. I see this. Well, I mean, maybe I should... It says in the article, Google is planning to offer checking accounts within its Google Pay app. It's called Cash, spelled C-H-E, Cash, like cache memory. The project, which could launch as soon as next year, will be offered in partnership with Citigroup. That makes me nervous. and some small Stanford University credit union, which I don't know if that's supposed to buy you some more good faith. Google says that these accounts will be branded up front as coming from these banks, which will handle financial back-end and regulatory compliance. So Google's setting it up and setting it free. It's going to be available, and they're going to have no concerns about whether regulatory needs are met, whether it's in compliance with federal government standards, because they passed that off to the... But what they're definitely going to do is they're going to collect all your information in regards to using a checking account for your purchases. And I think it has very little to do with advertising to you, and it's very much like Apple and its credit card. These analytics make them compatible with Amazon as we go into the future. Amazon compatible.
That's kind of like that other word.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much. Is there a better word, please? Compatible.
Competitive.
Thank you. Competitive. That's the word. We'll make them competitive with Amazon as we go into the future, because Amazon is our great overlord that is taking over everything. And soon you're not going to be able to buy an iPhone from Apple. You're going to have to buy it from Amazon, because they will have the analytics to make it possible for you to get the best iPhone at the best price, under the best deal, and they will continue to undercut Apple because Amazon has all the analytics. They're scrambling.
You buy something from Amazon, and then they start advertising it to you.
Right. That's exactly what we're talking about. Is like the diaper scenario, where now Amazon sells diapers after collecting all the analytic data on these diaper manufacturers that are selling wholesale to customers through the marketplace. They've been put out of business because, wow, look at that. Amazon can sell diapers cheaper than you can using their own platform. What a surprise. Who would have thought that using their own platform, they would figure out how to undercut you on diapers? It's shoes.
When I was in business, I used to advertise with the New York Times. Then a private company came to me and sold me my same ad for at least 40% less than I was paying the Times.
So when did that advertising company get into your business? Like, when did they start selling your product and didn't need you?
It had nothing to do with it. I was advertising.
No, your analogy is correct, but yeah, you're not following it through in the world we're living in now. This is the equivalent of that advertiser.
That's what I'm saying.
Coming to you, collecting your information about how well your sales are, yeah, what your price points are, what your marketing is, and then taking that information and saying, now I'm going to sell your product.
Well, what I think they're doing is like, I had a friend in the TV advertisement business, and what he would do, he would buy blocks of unused TV time. Mm-hmm. And then he would sell it to individuals like you and you. And what these people are doing, like Amazon or even supermarkets, they buy at a tremendous discount with a huge buying power, mm-hmm, and therefore they can mark it up and sell it cheaper than the people manufacturing it. In some cases, you know, they can sell stuff cheaper than it can be made.
That's absolutely what Amazon's doing. In fact, if they saw a market because of the analytics they gathered on your business, in a certain market they see, hey, we've got so many diapers in this area, we could just give them away until there is no market for diapers, and then start selling them at whatever price we want. And that's exactly what's happening.
Which is what all these free apps do. They come in, they give you tremendous service for free, and over time you become dependent, and then suddenly you...
Well, 50 years ago, Safeway...
You're welcome, Robin. We'll see you next week.
Safeway would contract with... Have a good week, Robin. ...for $1 a unit.
Getting in the habit of setting it...
And then they'd say, well, we need more... So they would overcapitalize, build a bigger plant, and then Safeway would say, we're only going to pay you 50 cents a unit, and they'd have to sell the whole shooting match.
I remember Safeway coming in the Anchorage market. There was store like a Safeway that became extremely popular for having everything. Before it was popular to have a store that had everything. It was called Cars, and it was all throughout the state. And they were extremely successful at building market shares. And Safeway wanted to compete in that market. And so they started putting together stores that were similar. They would have a different product line. It would have similar products, but different brand names. And they were constantly taking a loss. Look, I'm the one that has forgotten to put my phone on silent this time. They're always taking a loss. They were taking a loss on the products that they would sell, knowing that they were trying to bring more business in to compete with the local vendors. And in the end, they couldn't do it. In the end, the other brick and mortars were so extremely successful for their high quality and their loyalty for their market that in the end, Safeway could not do anything except buy them out to have the market. And they waited until a period of time where they were in financial distress and pounced on them, closed all their Safeway stores, rebranded Cars as Cars by Safeway and a little, right? And so nobody had to admit that they were shopping at Safeway. They kept the same product line. They kept all the same features. This is something in this world, because they were brick and mortars, all that was very reasonable. You can't do that with an Amazon. Amazon can put people out of business like that because of the amount of capital they have. They don't have brick and mortars that they're competing against. I mean, all our businesses are now, well, I mean, I say that, but virtually all our businesses now are virtual businesses. So if you want direct competition, there isn't a good example of that. I'm sure Irving would say, you can set up your own website and you can sell directly to your customers. That is the equivalent. That's the analogy of these brick and mortars. You can't do that. You can't compete with Amazon.
Look, here's what it comes down to. People will buy the cheapest price. Well, I worked for a toy company. When I was young, I worked for toy companies. And I was friendly with the owner of the company. When he started buying from China, I'm talking about 1968 or 67 or 65, it broke his heart. He says, I cannot stay in business if I don't buy from China. Yeah. The competition is
right.
Killing me.
Yeah.
And this is what happens with the public. The public would like to buy American. I try to choose American wherever I can. But if American, for the same exact brand, price, and everything else is substantially lower, people will just, you know, people not that patriotic or can't afford or don't want to spend all that extra money. That's it.
Well, maybe there's a reason for, and I hate to say this, for some socialism. Maybe a company should not
help. Bob, say that again.
Maybe a company should not get allowed to be the size of Amazon.
Maybe if you need help with your tickets, I am here to help you.
Well, do you think the government will step
in? I recommend Venezuela, where you could jump right in.
Yeah, really.
Well, you know, you guys, these are very, very quick ways to think about this thing. But really, maybe the better way to think about it is we've never had marketplaces that created virtually and grew, exploded in such a short period of time. I mean, we are living in a different age than we were before. I mean, there's some validity to thinking of what Amazon created as a marketplace the same way you think of as the market in downtown Wymas. Mm-hmm. And that there is some level of rights that should be that we should attune to. I don't have the right adjective, I guess. But to be enforcing in that marketplace, regardless of whether it started out as a private endeavor or not. I think of Amazon these days the same way I think of, like, the way we should be looking at the phone company and the way we should be looking at the airlines. We're in a different world now, and it's gotten out of control with these virtual marketplaces. There may need to be a segregation between where you sell things and who's doing the selling.
Well, do you think the government will step in and call it a monopoly and maybe force some kind of breakup
and the telephone company?
I think you stepped on your point just by saying, will they call it a monopoly? I think what's unique about these areas is they are absolutely not a monopoly in the traditional sense.
Yeah, I know, traditionally.
Yeah, like when you bring the word monopoly in, then they have a book of things they can throw at you saying, there's no way we're a monopoly. Look at all these vendors on our site. Look at all these people we have to compete against.
Right.
Walmart.com and
yeah.
I mean, like Apple. Apple and Walmart have worse cases of arguments against being a monopoly than Amazon does. Amazon has a much better case of arguing they're not a monopoly than organizations like that.
You talk about Wymus. Wymus's food market has dropped 50 or 60 or 70%. The Wednesday market down there, you don't see food down there like you used to. Last year, there was a lot of food. This year, there's very few vendors.
The reason why?
Because of Walmart and because of Sam's.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Well, Walmart has been putting the small guy out of business for 50 years.
Sure.
And almost every little town has bought Walmart.
Yeah. Yep.
Which is not easy to do.
I that's very true, and I think that there are arguments for those kind of, I mean, regulations for that kind of stuff do already exist
problem,
when you're talking about brick and mortar.
The problem is the American people. As long as they're willing to buy from them,
that's right,
they can exist. People don't really care about their neighbor or the town or the country. They really don't. It's, what's the term? Not in my backyard? They don't care what goes on as long as it don't affect them, especially in politics.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
it wasn't that way when I was young. It was a completely different way of looking at things.
Well, California is going to get rid of all their sewers because they don't need them.
I don't know what that means, Bob. But all of a sudden, I have less incentive to go spend time in California.
You need to stay out of your junk mail.
Huh? Yeah, that's right. You're lost in your junk mail.
Okay.
So I guess what this last topic was more about was the real power is information. It's not money. That's why they're getting in these financial markets. That's why we're seeing online banks that are showing up as applications.
And the bottom line is that because economies, especially the United States, are consumer economies.
Mm,
so that's 65% and growing, and other parts of the world too. That's creating a whole new view of how the world works, or practical way it works.
Yeah, yeah. No, you're absolutely right.
You better
close this.
I'm going to shut this down because we're going to start getting into the kind of things we don't like to document. So, this is Scott Stimson once again. This has been the San Carlos Computer Club. I have the business International Computer Solutions here in Mexico. And if you are looking for IT support anywhere on the internet, I am reachable, scott@internationalcs.net. Check out our website, internationalcs.net. If you have enjoyed this meeting, if you'd like to join us in the future or interested in what we've done in the past, check out sccclub.org. I can also be reached there at scott@sccclub.org. I try to maintain a chat room. I try to answer my email. Our website can handle posts if you want to make comments on anything that we've put up. If you're looking for this as a podcast, go to where you get your podcast and search the San Carlos Computer Club. We meet every Tuesday here from 9:15 to 10:15-ish. San Carlos, Mexico at Tequila's. A great place with fast internet. They do a good service for us. They set us up with our table space, give us our Wi-Fi. They basically let me do whatever I want to do. We're going to start using a screen pretty soon that they've got here hanging on the... So we'll be trying to do that next week. And anyway, if you're in Tequila's, or if you're in San Carlos, you definitely should be in Tequila's for a breakfast or a dinner. Or if you're a night person, they turn into a disco bar at night. This is the place to be. Thanks for tuning in. Until next Tuesday, tech on. Later.
Now for my important question.
Your important question. Oh, wait, I'm still recording on the podcast. Let me shut that off. Adios, people out there, podcast land. Here's